In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is a feast on the calendar which has its own novena, because it is marked by the Feast of the Transfiguration on August 6th and concludes with today's feast. Those who can remember this event grow fewer and fewer within our congregation. However, in 1945, this novena began with the bombing of Hiroshima on August 6th and ended with the Empire of Japan's announcement of surrender on August 15th. Thus ended the terrible war, which Our Lady of Fatima foretold would come hard on the heels of the First World War, which was still raging when she appeared to the shepherd children in 1917. After the closing of that long century of murder, as we continue to see all the dire prophecies of Fatima being fulfilled, we can only trust that, as the Virgin promised, in the end her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And it is under this title that we shall honor the Blessed Virgin Mary 1 week from now on the octave of this feast, the Assumption. This feast was promulgated in the form in which we currently celebrate it by Pope Pius XII in 1950, even though the feast had been on the calendar since ancient times, both in the East and in the West. He promulgated a new text of the Mass, to celebrate this feast in 1950 on the occasion of his proclamation of the dogma of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This was nearly 100 years after his predecessor, Blessed Pius IX, had defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Pius IX proclaimed that dogma in the midst of a proud and triumphal 19th century, which heralded an age of perpetual progress, which was completely in conflict with the idea of fallen man. And so it was in this time that Pius IX saw fit to remind this proud world of the reality of original sin, and that Mary was the first fruits of the redemption, and that she was redeemed at the very moment of her conception, and thus preserved from that fault which all other children of Adam inherit. At the close of the Second World War, all illusions of perpetual progress had been dispelled, and so Pius XII chose to give to that generation a great consolation, a reminder that Mary was the first fruits of the resurrection. As long as any proposed privilege of Mary does not contradict divine revelation or completely stray from the realm of theology into pure fantasy, we may safely conclude that since God can do it, he has done it. God has not denied Mary any grace which is in harmony with his plan of salvation for mankind. Thus it is that the Church has never allowed the teaching that Mary was not redeemed, for we must all believe that Christ is the Savior of all men. But the Church has taught what the faithful have always believed, namely that since Mary was to be the mother of the Savior, God willed to redeem her in a manner more perfect than that by which he had redeemed all the other children of Adam. He willed that the moment of her conception should also be the moment of her redemption, such that she was preserved from all stain of original sin. Further, the dignity of her son demanded that she should be preserved from all sin throughout her life. The prophet had foretold that the Savior of the world would be born of a virgin, and the dignity of that Savior demanded again that his mother's virginity should be preserved. before, during, and after his birth. But since this Savior was none other than the second person of the Blessed Trinity, true God who became true man in time, God revealed to his church that Mary is rightly honored by the title Theotokos, Mother of God. St. Francis de Sales adds another argument in favor of the privileges of Mary, one which we may well imagine could only have come from the pen of our great doctor of charity. Jesus Christ, he says, was true God and true man. He obeyed the Ten Commandments of God like any man. How then can we believe that he did not perfectly obey the fourth commandment and honor his mother by giving her all good gifts which were his to give? And so he asks this beautiful question. What son would not bring his mother back to life and would not bring her into paradise after her death if he could? No place throughout all history, despite all the claims we find with regard to other saints, no place has ever claimed to have preserved the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Through the long ages, the fathers of the Church have resounded their pious sentiment that it is inconceivable that the Mother of God, after all the privileges she had received from the Savior, should have become the prey of worms. Thus it was that in 1950, Venerable Pope Pius XII defined as a revealed doctrine what the Christian faithful had always believed, namely that the Blessed Virgin Mary, at the close of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Her life came to an end through a holy wound of love, as St. Francis de Sales tells us, a holy wound of love that was inflicted upon her Immaculate Heart on Calvary. From that moment, the wound grew throughout all the days that remained to her on earth, especially once her Son had ascended into heaven and she was separated from the one object of her love. And so she, as the perfect model of all saints, had that wound of love growing in her every day until finally she died from that love, and the time of her death was also the time of her glorification. We all know that the mystery of the Assumption is one of the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. And I hope we all know that when we pray the fourth glorious mystery, we pray for the fruit of that mystery, which is the grace of a happy death. This is the greatest grace we can implore during our earthly life. For in the end, there is no true tragedy besides an unholy death, leaving this world estranged from God. No one can merit the grace of final perseverance. It is a grace freely given by God. But our Blessed Mother can intercede for us to obtain this grace, and there is no intention more important for us to confide to her in our daily prayers. This is why the prayer that forms the lifeblood of the Rosary, the Hail Mary, has concluded for countless centuries the invocation, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Holy Mary, Mother of fair love and holy hope, Queen assumed into heaven, obtain for each of us the grace of a happy death, that we may leave this veil of tears with hearts united to thy Son, and be conducted by the sweet cords of thy rosary into that everlasting rose garden upon the waters of eternal life. Amen.